Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life, and we thank you for this day you've given us. And we also thank you so very much for Jesus to Christ, your Son, who gave his life on Calvary. Lord, we thank you for this gospel meeting that we're hosting. We thank you for the increase in many souls being saved. And we thank you for all of your men's servants who have agreed to bring this message from 9 to 9:30 to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We pray that they would obey the gospel as one done today, and that the angels in heaven may rejoice over those who are obeying the truth. We thank you for these men. We pray for them and their families and their ministries. We pray for this message tonight. Brother Ganey, do you bless him? Have a ready recollection of those things he studied. He may present in a simple and plain way that the least educated can understand the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're thankful tonight to have each and every person on the call of Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We're thankful God has blessed us to, we stumble over this. We started in the month of May, and we have, since month of May, many souls have been saved, and we have 2,000 plus people listening every night, and we are so thankful that so many are interested yet in the simple truths proclaimed from the Word of God. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are very honored, and you're the distinguished guest of our audience. We pray now that you open your Bible, pay attention to what's being said as it pertains to the saving of your soul. We're putting this call on because we know people are dying every day. The COVID-19 is reminding every person in this whole world that death is coming. But one must do what the lady did today. That is, you must obey the truth before it's eternally too late. Before your head breaks the dying pillow, your eyes are closed for the last time. Your tongues have been silenced by death. You have to obey this gospel. Tonight, our speaker is the person, Brother Barry Ganey. Brother Barry Ganey is someone I've grown to know and love through this call. I've got to know many gospel preachers that I didn't know that are simple, plain, simple preachers who believe that the Bible has all the right answers. And I'm so thankful to know him. He's the minister of the Chisholm Trail Church of Christ in Wichita, Kansas. And if you're ever in Wichita, Kansas, you want to make sure you go to Chisholm Trail. Brother Ganey is there. Tonight he's going to come on and talk about denominational churches. The Word of God has spoken. God, the Supreme Court of Heaven, has spoken. Brother Ganey, what has the Supreme Court of Heaven said to us that we need to know about denominational churches? Help us.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. We're appreciative to the God of Heaven for this great and grand opportunity that God has given us to share a message from the greatest book in the Bible, greatest book in the world, which is the Bible. I am indebted once again to Brother Brooks, our gracious host, along with co-hosts Brother Stroud and Brother Flunder, and all of the gospel preachers who have shared Bible-based lessons with the purpose of exposing you to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. I would like to encourage you to have the attitude of the Bereans of Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Where the Bible says that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. I am so thankful to the Bereans, and I am thankful to them for their spirit of investigation. They were able to decide within themselves whether the things that Paul preached to them were true by searching the scriptures for themselves. And we would like to encourage you to do the same. Never take my word or anybody's word without searching the scriptures for yourself. For one day we'll stand before God and we will give an account for the things that we've done in this life. And the word of God will be the standard by which we will be judged. And so we want to encourage you, as always, to study the word, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, Jesus said, but they are they which testifies of me. The theme for this month is God's word settles the matter, from Psalms 119 and verse number 89. The subject that has been assigned to me this evening is God's word settles the matter about denominational churches. The word denomination is defined as a class or sort designated by a specific name, a body or sect holding a peculiar distinctiveness. And as you know, my friends, there are denominations of money. There's, of course, the $1 bill, and there's a $5 bill, $10 bill, $20 bill, and $50 bill, all of which are printed by the Department of Treasury. But not one of them is the entire treasury. My friends, the church that is found in your Bible is not part of anything. It is simply the church of Christ. It is a very popular thing to hear in the religious arena. Preachers say it all the time. Join the church of your choice, or any church will do. While these are popular sayings, they have produced many different denominational churches, each of which with its different man-made doctrines, different forms of worship, different plans of salvation, and each wearing different religious names. But have you ever taken into consideration how the Supreme Court of Heaven has ruled on this matter? In John chapter 17, verses 20 through 21, shortly before his death, Jesus prayed, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Jesus, my friends, prayed that that the religious world would be one, not divided, into different groups teaching and practicing different things contrary to the will of God. My friends, this attitude makes mockery of the Lord's Prayer. You remember Jesus prayed for unity and that we may all be one, and that those which believe on the Lord through the words of the apostles, those people, ladies and gentlemen, those are people who have, that has reference to those of us today who are alive, who have read and understand the teachings of God's word through the apostles, that we may be one as Jesus and his Father is one. The Holy Spirit said through the apostle Paul, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God by the Father, by him." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. In this verse, it says, in the name And that means by the authority. Whatever is done in the religious arena tonight must be done and sanctioned by the authority of Jesus Christ. Since Christ has all authority in heaven and in earth, according to Matthew 28:19-20, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul pleads with the church at Corinth regarding the danger of the spirit of divisiveness. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, listen to him, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" My friends, we see here that Paul denounced division. And he asked the question, which were rhetorical in its nature. Every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. He asked the question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Why are you baptized in the name of Paul? Is Christ divided tonight? The answer to that question is a resounding yes, because so many people have adopted denominational doctrines and have veered away from the teaching of the Word of God. Denominational churches are of human origin and have no scriptural authority to exist. Every denomination is in direct opposition to the will and the way of God. It is in direct opposition to the church that you read about in your Bible. My friends, let me say, and let me be plain, because I want you to understand what I'm saying tonight. And that is that the church that you read about in your Bible, the Church of Christ, did not come into existence by accident. Let me say that again. I said that the church that is in your Bible, the Church of Christ, did not come into existence by accident. It cannot be viewed as a stopgap or a plan B or a fly-by-night or a Johnny-come-lately or just a denomination among denominations. No, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and no, sir, my friends. We need to understand that the Church of Christ is the one-of-a-kind church. There is no other church like the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ had its beginning in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Did you hear what I just said? I said that the church had its beginning in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Well, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 10 and 11, we read, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. According to what? According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. One may ask, what are some of the identification marks of the church which makes it different from every denomination? Well, I'm so glad that you asked that question, because we're going to spend a little time looking at some identification marks of the Church of Christ that separates it from anything that man can come up with. Well, when a person wants to know about the Church of Christ, he doesn't need to consult any manuals. He doesn't need to consult any disciplines. He does not need to consult any kind of prayer books. He doesn't have to consult the confessions of faith and the philosophies and the traditions of men. My friends, all one needs is the Word of God. When we search the Scripture, if we were to go back into the Old Testament, we would find that the church of our Lord is prophesied in Scripture. The church of our Lord is prophesied in Scripture. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter number 2 and verse number 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says, and the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I told you earlier that the church was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Prophecy speaks to the church of Jesus Christ. Now, in Isaiah's prophecy, we read that there are basically three fundamental facts from Isaiah's prophecy concerning the church. Number one, the prophecy would be in the last days. Well, many in the religious world misunderstand that term, last days. But the last days began with the ascension of Jesus back to heaven, which ushered in the gospel dispensation, the time in which we are living now, the last days. We also find out that all nations will flow unto it. We see here that the Lord's church is only one, and it's large enough to encompass all nations. My friend, the church is large enough to include everyone. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter your economic status. It does not matter what you look like, my friends. The Bible teaches that all nations of people will flow into it, which indicates that there is just one. Jesus promised to build just one, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But another fact about this church is that it will have its beginning in the city of Jerusalem. You remember in Luke chapter 24, shortly after his resurrection and before his ascension, Jesus left final instructions with his disciples. He told them, he says, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endowed with power from on high." They were instructed, my friends, to wait in the city of Jerusalem. Now, if they were instructed to wait in Jerusalem, they could not be in Galilee. They could not be in Caesarea. They could not be in Joppa or in Philippi. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, here we find that the apostles were in the city of Jerusalem on that momentous occasion on the day of Pentecost in Acts the second chapter. And so what I want to share with you tonight is this: anything that did not have its start on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem cannot be the Bible church. Did you hear what I said, my friends? It cannot be the Bible church. It cannot be the church of Christ. There are many denominations in the world, my friends, that did not have their start in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And so then, therefore, they cannot be, according to the scripture, they could not be the church that Jesus promised to build. My friends, they are the result of man-made religion. When you look at the church in the Bible, we find as to the duration of the church, we see that all one would have to do again is consult the word of God. You remember back in Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of a great image. His heart was troubled and he couldn't sleep. He called the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, the astrologers to tell him the dream and to interpret its meaning. Well, you remember, my friends, that the image that King Nebuchadnezzar saw had a head of gold, had a breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, and feet mixed with iron and clay. And as you read the story, you will find out that the head of gold represented the Babylonian Empire. The breast and their arms of silver represented the Medo-Persian Empire. The belly and the thighs of brass represented the Grecian Empire. And the legs of iron mixed with iron and clay represented the Roman Empire. And in verse number 44 of the text, the Bible says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." My friends, it was during the days in which the Roman Empire was ruling the world that the church of our Lord, the church of Christ, was established. And that church will be here until God declares time to be no more. We read about the stone that became a great mountain that filled the earth.
It occurred during the days of the Roman Empire, my friends. That was the church of Christ. And in Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 13 and 14, Daniel said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came unto the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, look out, all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall never be destroyed. My friends, listen to me carefully. When Jesus entered heaven after his resurrection, he entered as the King of Glory, and there was given to him his kingdom with dominion and power. He alone has all power. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Master said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. My friends, listen to me now. If Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth, what percentage is left for the pastor? What percentage is left for the archbishop? What percentage is left for the cardinals? What percentage is left for the pope? My friends, Jesus said he has all power. And Jesus has all power, then Jesus has all power to build his church. My friends, the church of Christ is the only church that Jesus promised to build. Notice with me, if you would, go over to Matthew chapter number 16. And let's look at a passage of scripture. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse, we want to start reading at verse number 13, where the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus promised that upon this rock I will build my church. Upon the truth that Peter acknowledged when he said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that truth, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. Jesus has the only authority to build his church. My friends, we need to understand. We need to understand that the church is built by Christ. No man has the authority to call himself something that is not according to the scripture. No man has the right to call himself a Methodist or a Baptist or a Pentecostal or whatever. My friends, these are not things that we find in the Word of God. We need to understand that God has already made it law in heaven that all of us ought to be members of the same church. There is no scriptural authority for any denomination to exist in the world today. The Church of Christ is the only church that is certified in Scripture. I cannot go to the Scripture and read about any man-made religious organization. It's just not there. And we have to understand that Jesus promised to build one church. Jesus did not promise to build many differing denominational churches called by different names and practicing different things. No, ma'am, and no, sir. We need to understand that the Church of Divine Prophecy is the only church certified in Scripture. And so the Bible tells us that Jesus promised to build just one, and he is the Savior of that one church. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." What is his body? Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 rightfully answers the question, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." My friends, the Church of Christ is the only church you can read about in your Bible. And it is the church that the Lord had the saved to. In Acts chapter 2, when those people heard the preaching of Peter, they asked the question. They were concerned about their souls, and Peter had told them that you, with your wicked hands, you have slain the Son of God. And the Bible tells us over there in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36, the Bible says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Now let me stop for just a moment, because there are many people who don't want to do anything. There are many people in the religious world who want to just simply accept the Lord in their heart. But my friends, that's not what Peter told them to do. There are people who just want to talk about the grace of God. But I'm here to tell you, that's not what Peter told them to do. The Bible says, when they asked the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent, and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In many denominational churches, many denominational preachers do not believe that baptism washes away sins. Many people believe and preach that you don't have to be baptized, or that baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. No, ma'am, and no, sir. Baptism is what washes away your sins. Acts 22:16, Paul was told, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." The people asked, "What must we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." The Bible says in verse number 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." You notice, my friends, that they did not have to wait to the first Sunday of the month. They did not have to wait until later. The Bible says that then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day, not 2 and 3 weeks later, but the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And what did they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking the bread and in prayers. But look at verse number 47. The Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." From Acts chapter 2, verse 47, throughout the remaining part of the New Testament, the church is always spoken of as a present day reality. People, listen to me now. People in the first century were saved without ever being a part of a denominational church, because denominational churches did not exist in the New Testament. And what we need to understand is this, that if people were saved in the New Testament without denominational churches, then people can be saved today without denominational churches. If not, why not? So then, as we hasten to our conclusion tonight, we need to understand, my friends, that the church of Jesus Christ, the church that Jesus built, baptizes for the remission, the removal, the cancellation of sins. What must you do to become a member of the church of Christ? I'm so glad that we don't have to guess about it. I'm so glad that we don't have to call a conference about it. All we need to do is just simply search the word of God, and it tells us exactly what must we do. This thing is not left up to man to decide. Many times people want to be saved, and they're told that you have to pray the sinner's prayer and receive a prayer cloth. Some are told that you have to tell of a Christian experience while you're still a sinner. Others are told you have to jump, dance, and shout as evidence of the Holy Spirit. Put your hand on the radio. Speak in tongues as evidence of being saved. My friends, no one voted on New Testament Christians as candidates of baptism. They were not told to join the church of their choice. They simply heard the word of God, according to Romans 10:17. They simply believed the word of God, according to Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. They were simply told to repent of their sins, according to Luke 13, 3 and 5. They were simply to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, according to Matthew 10, 32. They simply were baptized for the remission, the removal, the cancellation of their sins, Acts 2, 38, Acts 22, 16, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. And they were to remain faithful unto death, Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. My friends, when we look at denominationalism, we look at something that was created by man. God has nothing to do with it. When we look at the church of the Bible, we find that the church had its beginning in the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah 2 and verse number 1 and 2, fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 47. It wears the name of its founder, Jesus the Christ. Romans 16, 16 is a designation to show ownership that the church belongs to Christ. The church of Christ has Christ as its only head. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 22 and Colossians 1 and verse 18. Jesus is the foundation of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, for no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. The church of Christ was purchased by his blood. Acts 20 and verse number 28. The church is built by Christ. Matthew 16 and 18. The Lord adds the saved to the church. Acts 2:47. The church stands for truth. Let me say that again. The church stands for the truth. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. My friends, I want to let you know that this lesson was shared with you in love. But I want to let you know that when it comes to denominationalism, that is the result of man-made doctrine. It is not the result of Bible preaching and Bible teaching. And what we need to understand is that the Lord is going to come back one day, and we are going to have to stand and give an account for the things that we've done in this body, whether they're good or whether they're bad. And we're not going to be judged by the books and the standards of men. We are going to be judged by the word of Christ. In John chapter number 12 and verse number 48, as we close, the Bible says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge man in the last days. My friends, all of us who have ever made footprint in the sand of time will have to stand before the great judge and creator of the universe. And we're going to have to give an account. The Bible says absolutely nothing about man-made religion and man-made churches. The Bible talks about one church, and that is the Church of Christ. I beg you and plead with you tonight that if you are in something that you cannot read about in your Bible, that you would get out, investigate the Word of God, and become a member of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ. The heavenly Supreme Court has ruled, and it has ruled that the Church of Christ is the only church that a man can be saved in. My friends, our time together has come and gone. May God be with you. I'll turn it back over to Brother Brooks.
Thank you. We appreciate you so very much, Brother Barry. We appreciate the message tonight, and certainly those who are on the call tonight who are not members of the Church of Christ. We wanted you to hear this message because many of you, like myself, I was in a denominational church growing up because I called the Baptist Church. There's some wonderful people in the Baptist Church. All my family were Baptist, but you know, the thing about it is this. It's just not in the Bible. Denominational churches. We need to understand that Jesus said few would find that straight and narrow way. And that straight and narrow way equals one church called the Church of Christ. We had a lady today who'd been listening to our call, obey the gospel. She's a member of that church today. And she obeyed that truth after listening to our call. If you're on the call tonight, you've listened. How many times have you listened? How many times will you have to listen before you start to believe that the Bible is right? We speak the truth in love on this call, and we want you to know that. You can take that chance if you want to, but at the end of the day, what Brother Barry has talked about tonight, that if you are in a modern-day denominational church, there is no Bible to support that you are saved. And what we're putting emphasis on is the urgency to examine that and think about it. If it's not in the Bible, are you going to stand before God knowing you're in a church that's not in the Bible? I wouldn't do that if I was you. So what you got to do, get back with the person who put you on the call and tell them, like the lady did today, talk to the man who put on the call. He taught her further, and we baptized her. Now, if you want to do that, then you get back with the person who invited you because they're members of the Church of Christ. They invited you to hear these truths. And we will make arrangements, as we did today, thank God for the Sugar Land Church of Christ who helped us out, that you can be baptized no matter where you are now. You know, listen, we had a large call tonight. Many people have called in tonight. So thankful. So many across the nation have called in. We will get you in touch with a preacher and a church of Christ there in your neighborhood, in your local community, and they will teach you further. They will baptize you, and they will become your family. And you too can obey the truth. If you want that, email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we, along with the person who invited you, we can make that happen for you. Now, if you want to go back and listen to Brother Barry's lesson tonight, go to our website, hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. Yes. And go to Nationwide Gospel Call. And there you find our nationwide meeting. And Brother Barry Gaines' message will be on there tomorrow morning. It should be uploaded. And you'll be able to listen to this call. And not only him, all the many preachers we've had on since the month of May throughout this whole gospel meeting. Go back and listen to any subject. You want to know more about baptism, more about the one church, more about why you take the Lord's Supper on every Sunday, those type of things, why we don't use instrumental music, all those topics on there, you can go and listen to them at your own leisure and time. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for Jesus, our Christ. Thank you for giving him, Lord, and we thank you for giving us life. for the blood that washed away our sins in baptism, and the blood that purchased his church, his bride, his wife, the church of Christ, who wears her husband's name. That's why it's called the Church of Christ. Thank you, Father, for giving us your book called the Bible. We call it the Bible. It's your word, the scripture. And we can read it. We can have men like Brother Gaines preach from it and teach us the basic truths for what we must do to be saved. We love you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we said today, thank you for joining us tonight. Another great call. Brother Gaines done a great job. We want to just say to everyone, don't miss tomorrow night. We got some more gospel preachers coming and some more great sermons coming on. This whole week, we've had a large call. I think December is going to be our record month of attendance tomorrow night. Our very own Anthony Flynn, our co-host, will speak about instrumental music in worship. You don't want to miss him. Anthony Flynn will do a great job on that Wednesday night. Go to Carlos Barrientos about the Sinner's Prayer. Then Thursday night, Brother Mike Hickson from GBN Global Broadcasting Network, Olive Branch, Mississippi preacher. He will talk about women preachers. Y'all don't want to. We need to know why these women are preaching. Then closing that, Brother Robert Harper will talk about all these men like that are talking about prosperity preaching. Yeah. Telling people the prosperity is around. That's not what we want to talk about. It's not about prosperity. It's not about money. Yeah, the rich man and Lazarus, proof of that, the rich man lost his soul. Yeah, Lazarus was a poor man, but he went to heaven. So we're talking about those men who are promoting prosperity. Yes, we are. You want to join us Friday night for that. And then I just want to say to everyone, thank you so very much for joining us, for supporting us, whether it be calling in or whether it be supporting financially. We're getting a great support system, and we're so thankful for each and every one of you. Next month, we're looking at Preacher Elder Month. We know preachers must be a preacher and elder should be able to preach this truth. And we got sound preachers and sound elders coming on for the month of January. And then we identify many sound congregations. We have our database of sound congregations. These preachers and their congregation will be up on our website in the month of January. You'll be able to just go on there and click on the state, the city, or wherever you're going, and you'll be able to find a congregation that's been on our call that you know are sound, because I'm very careful about who I put on my call. Let me say that one more time. I'm very careful about who I put on my call. It must be sound doctrine, as I believe in sound doctrine. Souls have been saved, you all. Thank you so very much for all you do. Let's make next year 2021. We're going into January 2021. Let's make it a record month. Go ahead and invite people. Invite them to these calls. Let's blow it up. COVID is doing its job, so let us do ours. What do we got to do? Share the gospel. Invite visiting friends and family. Let's pack the call, you all. Church of Christ, it's our mission to make known the manifold wisdom of God, that the saved must obey the truth in order to be saved. And that is according to the scripture. May God bless each of you. Have a good night.